Ladies and gentlemen, he should be a member of the Sports Writers Hall of Fame, but he had one too many sandwiches, and that was obviously illegal. He is Bob Winowski, the Detroit News, and co-host of the Rieger and Wojo show. What's up, Woj?
Sony, that's the Wojo and Rieger show. Get it right,
okay,
please.
By the way,
and also,
yes,
where do you stand on Gaylord Perry in the Hall of Fame?
I'm done.
Oh, you're not done.
I'm done because there's nobody else left. I don't care about A-Rod. I mean, if people want to vote Scott Rolen into the Hall of Fame, so be it.
Well, I will say this. There damn well better not be a gin and tonic clause in the Sports Writers Hall of Fame. I will fight that to the end.
Yeah. I know you voted the right way.
Yeah, I have about just... If people care, and apparently people do care, obviously, what us writers or whoever that's eligible to vote. And about three or four years ago, I just decided I'm going to stop trying to make the distinction. And I started voting for Bonds and Clemens. And I will say this, I did drop Curt Schilling off today because he asked me to.
Right.
This year.
That's okay.
So I said, okay. And he's made so many obnoxious comments, but I respect his wishes. He said, I don't even want to be on the ballot. I don't want to go in. Okay, bye-bye. And I also do make the other distinction that Stoney hates, but I do think first ballot has become a distinction, much like, do you get in by the writers, or do you get in by the veterans committee,
right,
or whatever they call it now. So I didn't put A-Rod on for the first year, and also because some of his stuff is very documented and more, shall we say, illegal than the others. So I'm serving him a one-year penance in my own little way, which is what you're allowed to do with these votes.
How do you get around the topic of integrity of the game? Is it just okay because everybody else did it? When I say that, and Stoney even laughs, like when I say that the integrity of the game has suffered, that era of baseball has suffered, all the guys that did it right have suffered because they're all linked to that time period in baseball. When you decide that you want to vote for Bonds or for Clements, which it's your right, it's fine. You can do what you want to do. How do you come to your decision wrestling with that argument?
Well, I wrestled with it, then I decided to stop wrestling. And the way I finally viewed it is integrity of the game. That is one element. But it's like, say there are 10 things that you need or 10 characteristics that you're choosing from for a Hall of Famer. Okay, and that category, maybe they get a zero. But they got 10s and hitting and everything else. And there's other guys that maybe have incredible integrity but don't have the numbers. So you view it that way. The way I view it is if you have, in either the public's eyes or in the report's eyes, if you have that steroid stain, well, you better be damn good in all the other categories, all the other statistical categories, and longevity and everything else. And obviously Bonds and Clemens do. They make up for that deficiency, a legitimate deficiency, although kind of nebulous to nail down. They make up for it with the numbers.
Yeah, but didn't that contribute to all those other factors, especially in terms of longevity? And when you're talking about a pitcher, in terms of recovery?
To a certain degree, yes. And you factor that in. But they were probably, and again, how do you know? Well, none of us know anything. But they were probably going to be in the Hall of Fame anyhow. I mean, the Barry Bonds numbers are astonishing. Did you see this? I saw somebody talk about David Ortiz who got in and Bonds who didn't. If you turned all 782 home runs hit by Barry Bonds, if you just turned them into outs, say those were all outs, he'd still have a higher on-base percentage in his career than David Ortiz. That's unbelievable.
I
know on-base percentage isn't him.
Right, I know.
It showed how feared he was. And again, Jansen, you're right, feared for reasons and feared because he was able to keep his body in hitting condition better, partly because of enhancements. Granted, okay, fine. But I also think he probably was that feared and that good before he started sticking needles in him or what. Oh, the cream, the clear, whatever.
The cream and the clear. All right, well, Joe, we had an interesting discussion, question based upon Cade Cunningham's performance last night. Granted, they lost, and what he did, which, you know, our teams aren't very good, but we have a lot of good young players. So out of the following, Cade Cunningham, Raymond, Sider, Nedeljkovic, you might want to even put Green and Torkelson in there, or Mize and Skubal and, you know, Sewell and St. Brown. Who are you most excited about?
That is a great question. And we've wrestled that, being the little Rieger kid, have wrestled with that as well. I think the guy that's going to be perhaps most impactful for the longest period of time might be Mo Sider.
That's what I said.
A young defenseman, and a defenseman so important in the NHL. But just from a pure, you know, athletic and aesthetic and artistic standpoint, it is Cade Cunningham, I think, because a basketball player gets to reveal their athleticism more on a daily basis than hockey players do. Love what St. Brown did. I just don't know if he's ever going to be that elite receiver. But you know what? And I said this the other day, and me and Rieger debated it. Aren't you starting? Are you finally, after all these years of misery and rebuilding, you're starting to see the payoff, aren't you?
Yeah.
A little bit, right?
A little bit, absolutely. By the way, speaking of Rieger, I mean, he wanted to give up Sider for Jack Eichel, and he wanted to draft Jalen Green. And somebody texted, rightly so, after we brought that up, that anything that's good for the city, Rieger's against.
Well, he's had a rough run of late, the little Rieger kid. He's sequestered right now, trying to get over his Stafford obsession.
Yeah.
But no, I get that. We make wrong calls. I know. I'm intrigued by Jalen Green as well. I don't deny that. And it's taken Cade Cunningham a little while, obviously, as a rookie, to get on track, but starting to shoot the ball well. He doesn't get any calls yet.
I know.
Referees, but that will come. That will definitely come.
How much does, going along with that conversation, not the Rieger conversation, but the one that Stoney brought up a minute ago, how much does that give you faith in Brad Holmes, knowing that they're going to get some good compensatory picks, that they're going to have a number of picks in the mid-rounds, that if he could find a guy like Amon-Ra St. Brown, and coming from the Rams, obviously they found Cooper Kupp. I don't know how much of that was Brad Holmes or not. How much does it give you faith that, or just excitement about what he could do in this year's draft with more picks?
It does make it more intriguing, more picks for Brad Holmes. You can argue about Levi and, you know, the defensive lineman in the third round, the second round, whatever it was, and maybe. But he didn't really miss on many. And same thing with Troy Weaver. You could argue Killian Hayes, but that he hasn't missed on many. Steve Yzerman hasn't missed on any picks here, or even trades, to be honest, for the most part. So, yeah, and you got Torque and Green. It gives you, I think, and that's why you endure the rebuilds, because that's the only way you get these high picks. But it's not as easy as just getting the high picks or any picks. You still have to nail them. And I think so far, I mean, what's been the biggest miss of all the high picks the teams have had the last three or four? I mean, Mize has come through. Killian Hayes, is that the one you could argue is a miss?
Yeah.
From a high pick?
That's it.
Yeah.
Right now.
He'd be the top, maybe Onyeka.
Well, yes.
Still a little bit of time.
Right.
But,
Okuda,
yeah.
But that was before, you know, obviously, yeah. Brad Holmes. All right, Woj, what should Michigan fans be fearful of the most, which means the highest probability of happening? Jim Harbaugh leaving or Mike Macdonald taking over for Wink Martindale in Baltimore?
Wink Martindale, and he doubled as the host. What show did he host?
A lot of them.
Yes, he did.
Truth or Consequences, among others, I think.
Yeah. Oh, I love that show. The Mike Macdonald thing is more real,
I know.
Obviously. That's where he's from. And, you know, John Harbaugh got him an internship, basically, that he turned into a great gig defensive coordinator at Michigan. That seems the most – the Harbaugh thing, I'll say it for the 1 millionth
time. I know.
I ain't buying it because all people do are connect what they think are connections and dots, and then you never hear anything from the NFL team that they're connecting him to. So I've sort of moved on from that, understanding anything could change. I mean, Sean Payton resigned or retired or whatever you want to call it recently, so who knows. But the Mike Macdonald thing to the Ravens, I think that's a real possibility.
Do the Lions have a risk of losing Aaron Glenn now that Sean Payton has stepped down?
Ooh, now that is a great point, because I was wondering about the Sean Payton thing. Yeah, you know, if Dan Campbell had hung on there for another year, would he have had a shot at it?
Yeah. Their defensive coordinator, Dennis Allen, has done a really nice job, and he has head coaching experience, too.
Right, right. So I haven't looked at the possibilities yet. I assume there's some sort of plan in place, and that would be a loss, Aaron Glenn. I mean, come on. Finally, you lose two defensive coordinators in the same offseason, McDonald and Aaron Glenn. That's not fair, but I could see that happening. And Aaron Glenn absolutely seems to have head coaching material, no doubt.
Real quick, assuming Michigan beats Northwestern tonight, which, of course, we assume Michigan State would last week, and they did.
Nothing.
Right. Who do you like in Michigan State at the Brez on Saturday?
You know, I mean, because it's at the Breslin Center, and Michigan State, to me, is always better coming off of a loss. I would favor Michigan State slightly, but I mean, their guard play and the turnover, and that is very concerning, obviously. And I mean, I think you guys mentioned earlier, I was watching that Illinois didn't score for the last 5:33 of that game.
Yeah.
Not a point. Now you say, well, that's Michigan State's excellent defense. Part of that is true. It is, but you hold somebody, you've got to win it at the end. And obviously some things went awry. So, but Michigan has things to work out, too. We'll see how they look against Northwestern. I guess you got to do a slight favorite for the home team, yeah. My guess.
By the way, I suggest everybody, I'm not just saying this, your article on Dylan Larkin this morning was terrific.
Oh, I appreciate that. So Dylan talked a bit about stuff he's gone through, being the captain and how difficult it is and other things. And I thought he was pretty insightful, so I enjoyed talking to him and writing about him.
Well, good. All right, Woj, we will talk to you next week. Enjoy your time with Rieger, as always, every day at 6 o'clock.
I will. Woo! Happy New Year!
Oh, please. He, damn, he slipped that in. That's Wednesdays with Wojo. Coming up next, we'll get you set for Carson Anderson, and we might let you hear from Kelly Stafford as well.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.